All right, guys, we're out here on Slipluck Gulch today. We're talking with Mike Thompson, Big Mike on the Rocks. We're going to go through what he's got done to his car, you know. This is a Turbo S. What year is this?
This is a 2021 Turbo S.
Woo! So we're a 2021 Turbo S. We'll talk about what he's done to his car to make it do stuff like that. And then, as always, later on in the conversation, we're going to talk about, you know, what can we do as side-by-side people to help kind of bridge that gap between the traditional off-road community and what we can all do to better protect access and keep everything open. So, all right, Mike, we started this 21 Turbo S. Last year they made it.
Yes.
What you
snagged one up before they got rid of them. I was lucky.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone else knows this, but this is hands down my favorite body style of car. It's not even a question, really. Like, there's nothing else that's as cool. But, yeah, tell me about what you got done to it. It's obviously not stock. We're sitting on some big, beefy tires.
Yes. So, this is actually my first and only side-by-side I've ever owned. Just kind of a backstory of how I got into this. Growing up, I was never really into power sports. I did the traditional sports route. I was big into football, basketball, baseball, that stuff. Football being my favorite. But as I got older in life, and that kind of took a back seat, you know, health and body wise. I was like, all right, what else can I do? And so my wife and we have two kids. We all bought quads, and we kind of got into that for a period of time, and that was fun. I loved it. And at the time, we were living up in the Pacific Northwest in Washington. And so we went on a camping trip down to the Oregon coast, to Coos Bay, which is, you know, famous for side-by-sides, Boxcar Hill, Winchester Bay, all that stuff. And we went with some family, and they rented, I can't remember what model was. It was definitely a Polaris. You know, it's probably just an XP1000. But we rented one down there at the beach. And I got in it, and I started ripping around in the dunes. I was like, oh my gosh, I see what all the hype is about. And
is it straight? I don't remember. Sorry, we're on Slip Lock. We're trying to remember where we go.
Slip Lock is this way. That one is Resurrection.
Okay, so that's right. Good.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Like,
go ahead.
No, you're good. As soon as I got in that thing, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to get one. So I went to the dealership shortly after, took out my down payment. There was kind of a little bit of a back order because everyone was buying them at the time. It was during that part of the pandemic. And ended up getting it about 3 months later. And I rode that thing stock for probably about a year, mostly doing, you know, backwood trails up there in the Northwest, going down to the beach and just, I had paddles, doing all that. It was awesome. And then we ended up moving to Southern Utah. And I didn't realize how, like, a rock crawling mecca, if you will, you know, and started going around and seeing what other people were doing. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. So after about a year, I finally started pulling the string and putting these upgrades on. This is one of my favorite obstacles.
This one's so cool. Yeah, dude, I'm good. I'm buckled
good?
In. I might catch a monster, but that's fine. Oh, yeah.
My daughter always jokes when she comes at me. She's like, Dad, do you just see a wall and go up it? I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
There's only a few of them I have not been able to get up. You know, my tires don't grab. I'm not feeling as confident that day, but it's a blast. But, you know, the first thing I did was obviously go for the cage, right? I witnessed an incident. Actually, a good friend of mine bought the exact same model around the same time. And the first time he took it out, I was still waiting for mine to come in. So him and my daughter was up in the front seat. She was probably, trying to think how old she was back then, 13 or 14. And then his daughter was in the back seat. And it was at Brown's Camp in Oregon, kind of by the coast. And he was doing cookies and, accidentally rolled it. And luckily she had a helmet on because her head, you know, it rolled onto her side and her head hit out and hit a rock. Luckily, she had that helmet on, and his cage was just—it was totaled. It was done, right? And so that lesson right there, thank God she's okay. Was like, all right, I'm getting a cage when I get mine. Those things are flimsy when they're stock. Upgrade that. Not even—it doesn't matter what kind of riding you're doing. If it's rock crawling, sand dunes, It does not matter. Just get that cage. So it started with that. Because I mostly rock crawl, obviously I'm very concerned about clearance.
Yeah.
So I ended up putting on 37-inch stickies, the X-Rocks. I'm typically running these about 5 PSI.
Yeah, you have beadlocks too, right?
Yes, yeah, beadlocks. I've toyed around with it at different levels of PSI. And for me, I don't know if it's just the way this car is set up, because so many factors go into that. Weight, suspension, all that. But
yeah,
I find at 5 PSI, it does pretty dang good.
For sure. Well, and that brings me, I'll let you get up this waterfall before I ask you, but the other question I was going to ask is, you know, a lot of these cars out here, these real rock-oriented cars, have gone to portals, and you haven't. And to me, is that like some of your dune background coming in? Because your suspension's set up for rocks. Like we were talking earlier, you can't go bomb a dune with this. Like, the suspension is soft. But what's been your deciding factor on, like, no portals, I don't want to deal with that? Is it just a maintenance headache?
Well, you know, I don't have too much experience with it, but it seems like the few riders that I do know that have had that, I was drawn to it because of the clearance side of it, right?
Yeah.
And is it this way?
Either way.
Either way. Yeah. It just, you know, anytime you make anything on your car have a stronger point to it, you're going to inevitably cause a weak point somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And it
100%.
Seems like the guys I know, just the experience I've been around, they tend to, more things go wrong with portals than a car without portals. So,
really? Like, just suspension-wise or what? Because for me, my concern is I still like to go fast.
Yeah.
So my concern is getting that drop and having that extra leverage against the ball joints. You know, it's nice, you get the clearance, but that extra 4 inches, to me, I'm just terrified of, like, ripping ball joints and control arm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think a lot of it does come down to the driver too. You know, because I do know, you know, I have friends out here on portals and they kill it. They have no problems, but they also understand their machines better than, say, someone who, you know, was new like me at the time. You know, a lot of that just comes from experience, but once I set all this up, I was like, I enjoy the way my machine rides. Yes, everybody breaks stuff. If you're rock crawling and doing extreme climbs, stuff's going to go wrong, but you know, it does seem to stay at a minimum. The only real issue I've ever had is my axles, right? Just because I put myself in compromised positions where the weight is on it too much, and, you know, you gun it. So, I think I'll stick without the portals, but I have nothing against them. To each their own, right? It's your machine and what you feel comfortable with. I love the way my machine performs, and I think I'll just keep it how it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The one thing I still have to add is a wench. I'm that one guy that's out here crawling without a wench. But it's that old saying, like, as soon as you get a wench, you got to start using it. So,
yeah.
But the good thing is, like, I never do anything crazy without somebody else with me that has a wench.
Yeah.
It was crazy, like that waterfall we just did back there on Sliplock. I would never do that by myself when I first started rock crawling. I wasn't confident. I wasn't sure. But, you know, like anything else, the more repetitions you get, the more you do it, you gain confidence, you gain experience, you know the route you're supposed to take. So, like, that one, I mean, you saw we went right up at no problem.
Yeah, we walked.
But I've done it so many times, I'm comfortable with it. I know the line.
When you first got into this, you came... Well, I'm trying to figure out, because it sounds to me like you came from the dune side of things a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe you more trail riding than anything. You ready to go down this? I think we missed our spot down there.
I kind of want to go back there.
Okay.
It's just right back and around, right?
Good news is we're Sand Hollow. We can just kind of go. Even if we miss the trail, we'll pick it up later.
All open riding.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, you come out of the dune side of things. What do you see kind of as a difference between, like, not the actual riding, because that's very clearly, they're massively different, but the communities around those types of things, like the communities at Coos Bay versus, you know, here, even like here, Little Sahara versus Sand Hollow itself, and the rock crawling oriented side of things.
Yeah. it's hard because I never want to put anybody under the, throw anybody under the bus or anything like that, but I do witness a difference even in just like mentality and camaraderie, if you will, of the Dune side of it versus the rock crawling. And maybe it's Oregon versus Utah, just, a different.
Okay, right here.
Because what I noticed down with the Dunes, typically it's a lot of brand new people who don't have a lot of experience with this stuff, and they buy these machines that are so extremely capable, so fast, and they just go out there and they go 100 miles an hour nonstop without kind of learning the safety side of it. And so I saw a lot of accidents down there, some pretty bad ones, like people getting injured, deaths, that sort of thing. And so whereas here in Utah, maybe it's because I got hooked up with people that have been crawling for a long time.
Yeah.
Everyone was about safety, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit more courteous and aware, if you will.
Well, I think there's a big difference too. Like when you hit the dunes, there is something like freeing and open, like in your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, look at this, just wide open. Where we have, it's open OHV here, we can ride wherever, but it's a little bit less inviting to just go mob through stuff when there's giant rocks everywhere,
Right. Be a little careful.
Yeah, whereas with the dunes, it's wide open, so I think that invites a little bit more, I wouldn't say carelessness, but like a little bit more, I guess I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you kind of get what I'm saying.
Reckless.
Yeah, it invites you to open it up a little more,
Yeah.
I think we're cutting onto John's right now, which is fine.
Yeah. I think I've done this one before.
Yeah, so we actually cut over these sets of canyons right here. They're all intertwined, but we've actually cut from Slip Lock, which cuts over three canyons. Now we're heading up a section of John's, but...
Slip John's,
yeah. John Lock. I think that one thing that I've noticed even in my conversations with like Julie and people from the Jeep side of things is that I think Sand Hollow in and of itself is pretty unique in that I think most people here are I think there's more camaraderie here than anywhere else, and I also think that there's a little bit more willingness to put everybody together. Like Julie was saying, she's like, here we're kind of forced to deal with each other on the trails, whereas other places, maybe not so much. Like other places, they might just, you never run into the side-by-side groups and the Jeep groups going together or something like that.
Sure.
And that kind of forces that camaraderie. But really for me, I'm just trying to figure out, what is it that we can do, both side-by-sides and Jeeps, to kind of better protect access for everybody.
Yes.
And I do think that, unfortunately, a lot of the stigma around side-by-sides comes from that kind of duner mentality, and I nothing against the people that run the dunes at all.
Yeah.
But I think that that's like people in Jeeps and Broncos see side-by-sides as the glamorous crowd, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's not untrue. There's definitely some of that.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head too. It's not a type of rider or a type of machine. There's always going to be a bad component to any, like, there's always going to be those that kind of ruin it for the rest of us,
100%.
So there's, like, some of my best friends are duners, and they're great people, and they taught me a lot of what I know, and they're out there helping people, and you're going to get that anywhere. I get a lot of that now on the rock crawling side of it.
Yeah.
I think, the more we can be the example individually, like, I love that saying, that's like, be the change you want to see in the world. If we want to see the community come together, and we want to, stop our lands getting taken away, it all starts with you and me and everyone individually. Like, you got to be the example. You got to do the things that are right. It's being courteous to everyone on the trail.
100%.
Doesn't matter if they're side-by-sides, Jeeps, buggies, just be courteous and, take care of the lands. If you see garbage, be the one that stops and picks it up. You know, if you see somebody doing something that, you know, could potentially ruin everything long term, you know, they're abusing public lands, they're, you know, destroying it, whatever, like, be the person that says something. You can do it in a way that is very direct without being, you know, rude and mean. It's just like, hey, we want these things to, these lands, these machines to be here forever for everyone. We want the industry to grow, but it all comes back to each of us individually. Like, be the example you want it to be, right?
Yeah.
So I think more of us, we get that word out there and share in that perspective and actually do it and execute, that's going to be the difference maker in my mind.
I agree 100%. I think that's so important. I didn't really think about this at all until, you know, interacting with people from Trail Hero, things like that. And then actually taking my wife's grandma out here, like, I don't know, probably last year. But the reality is there is no way she could ever come see any of this without an off-road vehicle. Like, that's just the reality. And that's what I like about Trail Hero and their work with, like, the veterans and disabled people is, like, I say like too much. That's okay. But it's just that, right? In that there are people that cannot hike in here. Like, they just can't. But to me, that's what makes me so much more angry when I see something like, you know, somebody flying down the trail doing 90, weaving in and out of other people. Is it's just like, man, we can't be this way. And I don't want to, and I hope nobody's thinking that this means I'm saying, you know, all the dooners are bad and that speed is bad, because it's not.
You're not saying that. You're right. It's not. But
I do think that, like, I don't know, man, especially out here, I think we get a really good insight into what people do wrong as well as what people do right a lot. Because if you remember, like, I mean, we have Cars and Coffee, everybody coming together, talking about stuff. We've had cleanup days. We do a lot of stuff like that. But at the same time, the community also posts stuff every once in a while, like the dude that drove on top of the Flintstone house.
Yeah.
Or, and I will say that's a side-by-side one. That one's on us, right? Like, how do we get around that? I don't know. We got to figure it out. I don't know how to get to that person individually. But you don't just see that from the side-by-side thing, too. I brought this up with Julie. The person that was out here pouring concrete, whether his intention was good or not, whether it was, you know, the right thing to do or not, that was a Jeep guy that was out here modifying trails permanently in a way that is not, you know, like we have to go tear it out or whatever. And then I don't know, I can't confirm this, but I've also heard that people are driving over the fence from the road to get into Sand Hollow, and that was a group of Jeep people. And I'm just, I don't know, I get a little worked up when people are like, hey, it's the side-by-sides ruining it for everybody, because I understand there's some blame to be had there. But I don't know, I just can't handle the, like, well, it's all you guys. Like, the putting people into boxes things. I just can't handle when someone's like, it's all you guys, you're doing it wrong. You know, you shouldn't have these machines with this much torque. They're way too powerful.
Right.
I really do get it. But we've got to find a way to get it together as an off-road community rather than a side-by-side community and a Jeep community and a motorcycle community.
Yes.
So that's just one of the things that bugs me. I'll go on another rant. I've been with people that, like, my brother works with some people, and they're like, yeah, we go off-roading all the time, blah, 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 whatever. And he was like, okay, sweet, dude, let's go. Let's go hit a trail. And they're like, yeah, all the Jeeps are meeting here. We're going to go, whatever. And he's like, okay, cool. I'll unload my side-by-side at the trailhead. And when he said he had a side-by-side, they're like, dude, we won't do it. And I'm like, wow. What are you talking about, man? Like, I don't know. It's hard.
I'll even hang in the back and go slow so I stay with you guys, right?
Yeah, it's not. And that's one thing that's really good about going with, you know, Ben from Terraflex, Curtis, that group of Jeep guys, is they know I'm there for the ride. They know I'm respectful. I don't ever go flying past them. It goes both ways.
Yep.
But it's just getting that, I don't know, getting that stigma out of people's heads of, like, I'm like, I can't ride with the side-by-side guys, or I can't go with the Jeep guys because they're slow, or, in that group that comes down here, they're down here this coming week, but we've literally had everything from almost stock YJs to my side-by-side to dirt bikes to full-blown, you know, JKs on 40-inch stickies. This is just West Rim. We can go wherever. Wherever the conversation takes us, you know.
I was actually going to go over kind of the playground area of West Rim. I think it's we just dropped
down.
Yeah,
it
right
is just
there.
Down. This comes up from toll booths are right below us.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know the exact answer, but I do know that something has to change, and I feel like we are kind of making steps in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, I think. You know, that is one thing I do appreciate about the Trail Hero event and Rich Klein and Brandy and everyone that's involved in that. Rob, you know, everyone that came out and supported that. It's good in that it is beginning to kind of unite those three worlds, you know, side-by-sides, Jeeps, buggies, because that entire week there's events for each class, there's mixed events, there's, you know, people are riding together, like one of my best friends, as a Jeep guy, Tim Somerville, he lives up in Enterprise. He's got a built-up Jeep, and he was the first one I really started wheeling with down here. He pulled and showed me around, and you know, we always joke like, "Oh, we're proof that Jeeps and side-by-sides can be friends, right?" Because we wheel together all the time, and you know, even I've met a lot of Jeep people that they also have side-by-sides, and so they're enjoying both worlds of it. And they are kind of, you know, ambassadors, if you will, of bridging that gap, bringing the industries together.
100%.
I agree with you. Like, I don't know how to make it work. I don't know what the answer is, but I do agree. I think we're going in the right direction. We're doing these groups where, like, you know, Rob's group, the off-road cars and coffee, bringing everyone together and networking and, you know, learning about them. And, you know, I love picking the Jeeps guys' brains and the trophy trucks guy, you know, the buggies, like, just
dude, I sit there and I ask more questions to those dudes than anybody with a side by side, and that's just my own personal, like, dude, how did you set this up? Like, what? This is Rick Wicked, Matt Heyer, that Gladiator, the silver or the gray Gladiator.
Yep,
that thing is freaking cool. I don't care who you are. I don't care what world you come from. A Gladiator on 42 inch tires is cool. I don't care who you are. Like, that's the reality.
Yeah.
So, and like you say, the stuff with Rich, with like having UTV Town, bringing that stuff together, I think is all a really good step in the right direction. And I don't want to say this as a rude comment, but I do think Jeep people need to understand these things aren't going anywhere, and the industry is going to side-by-sides.
Yes.
I get it. Jeeps are, they're here forever. They are awesome. But look at King of Hammers last year. What was the fastest unofficial time that happened? It was in a Maverick R.
Yep.
Look at how many people are coming into the off-road scene from the side-by-side world. It's massive. And I think that that's a missed opportunity of, like, dude, we have more people influxing into this from the COVID stuff and coming in from the side-by-side side of things to boost our community. Like, let's not tear those people down at all. Like, why don't we leverage that? Like, we got the numbers now. Let's leverage it, right?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, especially when it comes to kind of protecting the land side of it. If
100%.
We can all unite and come together, we all have the same end goal and the same vision of we want to keep the land that we have available to us to ride and make sure they're not going anywhere. And a lot of that is going to take a joint effort, if you will, play on words for trail out here.
We're on the wrong trail for that comment.
But, no, I do agree, though. I think we're heading in the right direction. It's just going to take a lot more effort from all of us in the industry of being that person that does show the courtesy and the kindness and you know, reaches out to them and just doing the right, like, be the example, right? Be the person that people look up to and that, you know, they can turn to when they need something in that industry, and they're going to then repay the favor down the road, right? Kind of pay it forward, if you will.
Yeah.
But to me, it all just starts with the people and being the example we want to see.
Seriously. So speaking of people, how you interact with a lot of people We all interact with a lot of people down there. That's totally realistic. But like some of those people that cross that gap or bridge that gap, I don't know anybody from MST Motorsports, but obviously they do a lot of work on side-by-sides. They do a lot of work on trucks. I mean, do they have any of these kind of conversations? Is this on everybody's mind? Is this just me thinking I'm going to change the world with one video, one show? or is everybody else thinking about this as well from your experience?
I would say everyone that I have met is really in this industry, the MST, the UTV pros, Viper, STR, you name it. Anybody down here, yes, we're all on the same page if we want to do that. And, with Brian, obviously he does all my service work for the side-by-side thing, and he's big in that world, but he also is working on Jeeps, working on trucks. And so he's able to talk to, both worlds, if you will. And, I've never heard a conversation per se, but I just don't have the type of person he is. He's another example of, hey, we can all be friends, we can all unite,
for sure.
Let's all grow in this.
I'm gonna just check this camera for a second, make sure it's still running. It is, that's good. Sorry guys, if you have a GoPro Hero 10, you know what I'm talking about. Overheating issue. That's good to know, because like I say, I maybe don't bump shoulders with as many people, but I think we all do have that same goal. I am curious, as a side-by-side, person, as a side-by-sider, I don't know what to call it, but what's one thing that you wish Jeep people, this might be considered a little interesting right here, but we are in the playground.
Surrounded by Jeeps right now.
Well, surrounded by Jeeps and a couple Pro R's. What's one thing that you think that someone from the Jeep side of the industry could really do to kind of help bridge that gap? Because I think for the side-by-side stuff, obviously we've talked about be the example, and I think we really need to if you see somebody messing around, you just gotta stand up and just say look dude, we're gonna lose all of this if you act this way or whatever. But I'm curious, what do you think could happen from the other side of this gap that would be beneficial?
I would say it all first starts going back to my comment on saving the public lands.
Yeah.
I know a lot of those Jeepers are actively out there being a part of that, spreading the awareness, and inevitably by them doing that, they're going to run into a lot of of us, the side-by-siders. Yeah. And, it's just be open-minded. There's a lot of good people in this industry, just like there are a lot of good people in that industry or that, type of vehicle, if you will. And it's just being a little more open-minded, right? It's, we see that with other, this is always a, with other facets of life, social, political, it's the same thing here. Don't have a preconceived notion that we're all bad. You were talking about earlier. There's a bad few in every industry. The side-by-sides, Jeeps, you name it. But it's not everyone, right? So just be a little more open-minded and give us a chance, right? We're human just like you. We put our pants on the same way. We got families.
We're all just trying to just enjoy the outdoors. And I think, I don't know if this is a really good idea or a bad idea, but if you have a Jeep, and you know someone with a side-by-side, or even if you don't know them, but just don't pass on the opportunity to say, hey, do you want to come with us? It's going to be a little slower. And I think that it's okay. I think a lot of side-by-side guys are okay with doing this slow crawling trail, but just say, hey man, come with us. We'll show you how we approach things from our side of things. And then you can show us hey, it's a little bit different doing it in a side-by-side. This is how I would tackle it. But I don't think you're going to get your head bitten off by anybody in a side-by-side for saying, hey, do you want to come ride with me?
No, absolutely not. We've seen examples of that. All of us here locally, it's obviously most of the riding we do is with other side-by-side guys, but I can't tell you how many times I've jumped in on trails with Jeeps or Jeeps have jumped in on trails with us, and it's man, we're all out here having fun doing stuff that we're passionate about. We love this. We're doing it all the time. And it's like, why not kind of spread the love, if you will, and just do it all together?
I got to think skinny thoughts through here, man. Coming through the squeeze, it's a little narrow.
Just barely. I'm 82 inches wide, and I touched the whole way.
Dang, son, you got 10 inches on my rig.
She's girthy.
I'm on factory tires, so I'm 74. But yeah, she's wide.
Yeah, it was. It's the 72 inch model, right? But
yeah,
after the long travel kit, the sticky tires, oversized. You know, they're 82 now. So it's good and bad. I get a, you know, a little bit more. It helps on like the cracks. You know, I can straddle them a little bit better.
V-notch, like we just did.
There's cons to it too. Like some places, I get pinched and I can't do it.
So these folks look like out of towners. Maybe we lead them.
He's got to get his music right.
That's one thing. That right there is a good indicator of something that I think makes this place so much more special. I haven't really wheeled a whole lot outside of like dirt roads and stuff, outside of Sand Hollow. I just love it here. But to me, I don't know, like, I guess I did. I did some up in Utah County. I did a lot of wheeling on like Constrictor, Little Moab, stuff like that. And I feel like the communities there were much more segregated. Did you feel the same kind of thing up in, you know, Pacific Northwest, where side by side stick with side by sides, jeepers stick with jeepers? Was there any of that blending? Because like we just saw here, we just have gone through multiple groups of jeeps, side by sides, all sorts of stuff, all within a 30-minute period. You know,
it's interesting. When I lived up in Washington, I did a lot of trail riding back through the forest. Browns Camp was the big one, and so at Browns Camp, you would see it all. Like you'd see large groups of side by sides, large groups of, you know, full size trucks, you know, Toyotas that were lifted, Jeeps going through those trails. Even had the dirt bike guys. At the dunes, though, it was very much like side by side only. You know, I think here in southern Utah, we have such a unique unique perspective.
There's a guy right here on a pedal bike.
That's first. That's a first for me. I've never seen a mountain biker out here on this stuff.
I actually have a buddy that broke his collarbone on the maze.
Really?
On his mountain bike. Yeah, Troy. Shout out to Troy. But that's just goes to, you know what I'm saying. We're all here, man.
Well, you know, this, the whole area of St. George, southern Utah, obviously the weather side of it permits it, but everyone is driving their rigs around. I mean, you see side-by-sides going to the grocery store. You know, kids are riding their dirt bikes down the road. I love it. I think it's awesome. It's like
100%.
This is the type of environment you want to raise a family in, where people can, you know, be safe and have fun at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I think this area just naturally brings people together because you see so much of it commonly. Right.
And I think the side-by-sides miss a little bit of that because they're so much more capable off the bat. You don't end up talking to somebody going like, yo, man, like, do I go to 33s? Should I wait? Should I swap to tons? You know, should I get Chromoly axles? Will that be enough for 35s? You're not forced into that conversation with the people already into it. You can just pick up a side-by-side and you can run stuff that no Jeep would ever touch.
Right.
So I think that, you know, getting that, like, how do we get out to the beginners? How do we get to someone who's just barely bought a side-by-side and say, dude, come with me, let's do this.
We need more guided tours, or not top guided tours, but people that are willing. Like, we need a business that takes those people out. Like, hey, if you're a first time owner, new owner, I don't know, less than 90 days, 6 months, year, whatever. Like, even if you're not comfortable, if you've had it longer, like, hey, come out, let us put you through a course. You know, it's kind of like how they did in Moab with the Broncos, right? You could go
through a
Bronco driving course.
Yeah,
you know, learn your machine. It's like the Ford factory store up in Salt Lake for the Raptors. They'll take them out on a course and show them actually how to use their machines. You know, it's, I think we, that could be one easy benefit we could do right away is we'll do more of that.
But anyways, to expand on that, I wonder if we do that, I wonder if we can get Rob, get some other people in on, like I was saying before we started this, let's put together a ride where you have to bring someone new.
Yeah.
Someone who's not done it or someone who's really, you know, kind of beginner in it. And I think that would help a lot.
Yeah.
It's really everything. I think every problem really is an education problem.
Right.
No matter what it is.
Even shout out to Dirt War Gear Accessories, Alex. You know, they do those classes
on Tuesdays.
It's like, yeah, where it's like, come learn how to do shit night, you know? There's my first and only swear word on this podcast today. But, you know, a lot of people that are going out to, I mean, I went to that. I'm happy to support them, and I like learning new stuff, but... You know, there's a lot of new people there, and
100%.
Maybe we can expand upon that. You know, come learn how to not only work on your machine, but hey, come learn how to actually use it, right?
Yeah.
And safely and courteously.
100%. I think that's a really good idea. I think we should really expand on that, but
yeah.
It's just one of those things that, like I say, everything's an education problem. I don't think anybody in the world is really out there to just be an ass.
I think
that mostly it's just, you know, oh, I didn't know that was kind of frowned upon. I didn't know that was, you know, something we shouldn't do.
Think about even probably when you were newer, or maybe it was just me, but, you know, we all know this now just because we do it all the time, but when you're out on trails and you're passing by someone, you know, it's not just waving to the other person.
Yeah.
If I'm giving you five fingers, that means I got five people behind me still in my group. You know, if I got three fingers up, there's three people up. It's doing that little courtesy stuff. But I didn't know that. I didn't learn that from a dealership or a course. I learned that coming out and riding with people who knew what they were doing and educating me.
Yeah.
Right now, we take it for granted. We know it's something as simple as that. But, like, new riders aren't going to know that. Right?
No.
And so... that could be an issue. Like, say you got four or five newbies together out just ripping around out here, coming across a Jeep. Jeep's likely been wheeling for a while and is going to expect that. When you don't do it, it can be frustrating. I see their side of it, especially if it's a corner where you can't see what's on the other side. It can be dangerous.
What do you mean, like their side of it?
Yeah.
I'm frustrated by that. That's me, not. That's everybody's side of it. That's one thing you hear people whine about this OHV course, and I'm not going to do anything as my public lands. Yeah, you can't force me to take a course. Dude, if everybody just took a course just for that aspect, I might end up saying this on every one of these episodes I record. But just even that aspect of, like, let people know who's behind you, which I knew coming into it from the snowmobile side of things, that would save so much, I think, of... I don't know. I don't know how many head-on collisions happens, but the frustration of coming up on someone doing 60 miles an hour, that would save so much heartache.
Yeah.
You know.
And injury and wreckage and all that.
Yeah. So it's one of those things you just got to do. You know. I'm curious. How do you think that the like, we're passing this group of people right here out of Sioux, I think. Is that? I don't know. No, these might be the Sand Hollow Resort ones. But I wonder, like, you know, how many...
That's such a funny example, though. I'm going by those three right there.
Yeah.
Put my fist out to let them know I'm the only one. There's nobody behind me. Not a single one of them. Let me know. I can tell, there's three, but there's probably nobody
else.
But, like, that's the simple, like, they don't know that.
There could be someone over this ridge we don't know about.
Yes.
And that's one thing I'm curious about. We have a lot of those off-road rental companies, and I don't think it happens as much with the tours, obviously, because they're with someone. But as far as I can tell, and this isn't a knock on the rental companies by any means, all of the people out here on rental equipment that I've talked to have been like, either, yo, they turn on ride command, say these are the cool spots and go, or they give me a map and say go. And I get it. It's hard to educate people on everything. But what's the... I wonder if there's something there of, like, I wonder how many times somebody in a Jeep runs into someone in a side-by-side, doesn't even realize it's a rental side-by-side. Because, I mean, to be fair, This one, pretty obviously, not a rental side-by-side. Rob's car, not a rental side-by-side. My car, not a rental side-by-side. But there's a lot of people out here that do just have stock vehicles. And I wonder how often that frustration is stemming from like, rental equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Of just people that weren't given a proper rundown of, you know, or didn't pay attention.
That is a good point, because while I've never rented a side-by-side from a company like that, I have come across groups out here of people renting them, and that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But they're out here trying to rock crawl, and those tires are pumped up to 12, 15 PSI. And, you know, they're rolling over and getting hurt, and it's like, I don't know if the rental agency educated them on, hey, these tires are at this PSI, you're probably going to struggle with this, but you're okay doing this, you know?
Well,
that's
sure
one more simple little thing that needs to be addressed, because tire pressure is everything out here, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure that they don't want to, like, you have a guy coming in to rent a side-by-side, he wants to have a good time. The last thing you want to do as a business owner, I think.
Scare him.
Well, scare him or tell him, like, hey, you got to take it easy, you know, tone it back. And I, like you say, there should be some, like, level of, dude, stay out of the maze. If it has anything over a 5, stay away. You know, like, if you're going to be on the rocks, our cars are set up in a general purpose car, you know, so they'll do reasonably well in the sand, on the trail, and on the rocks. You're not going to be climbing, you know, the Z-turn on joint effort.
Sure.
You're not going to be doing the waterfall on slip lock. You know, I don't know how much of that conversation goes into it. And I think that that's one thing that could help. But I see it from the business's point of view. You don't want someone to, you don't want to instantly put a damper on their rodeo.
Right.
But maybe it is something that needs to be addressed. I don't know. I'm sure that they've got their you know, processes, and I'm not even sure that any of that is even their fault. For all I know, they do say all that. I've never rented one. And maybe it's just, you know, some dude that's like, whatever, I got the insurance.
Goes in one ear and right out the other. Yep.
Yeah. I paid for insurance. I've seen people do absolutely dumb stuff with rental equipment for that exact saying. I watched somebody flip a side-by-side on the Z-turn on Moab Rim. And they literally had it flipped over. It was pointing downhill. And we got in front of them. We're like, dude, we can just winch you onto your wheels. Do you want us to winch you up onto your wheels? You can drive it out. And they're like, well, no, we got enough people in our group and we got the insurance. We'll be fine. They flipped it, proceeded to flip it from the passenger side, trying to go all the way over because it was kind of up against the ledge. If we had pulled it up with a winch, right, they'd be able to then wiggle it down as we let the winch out. But they instead chose to flip it all the way over, like someone flipping a snowmobile, to, you know, get to the other side. It hit the roof, it slid 20 feet, hit a rock, bounced over, and the lady was like, it's okay, the company paid for the insurance, because we're out on a company retreat. And I was like, okay. I'm sure, dude, whatever you say. But that kind of stuff is like, what are we doing? Someone snaps a picture of that, a video of that, passes it around the granola club stuff. That could be real.
Unfortunately, that is the stuff that gives us a bad rap, right?
Exactly.
They automatically associate all of us with that, and it's like, no, that's just a, you know, unfortunate event, and you know, we're not all that way. But you're right. That's the stuff that gets passed around to the masses, shared, and it's getting posted on Facebook and blasted, you know, but...
Yeah. The masses don't care about that awesome execution you just had up the waterfall on slip lock. They just care that somebody wrecked something or did something stupid, you know? Yeah. It's only
all
the
viral
enthusiasts.
Videos are not accomplishing trails. They're wrecking.
Yeah. 100%.
Show me the carnage.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that makes it really hard to beat that stigma. When, like, that's what's passed around, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just one thing. I hope we can all get to a point where we can all just kumbaya, be friends. I hope we can do our part to, you know, educate us and our community. I hope that people in the Jeep community can, you know, also help educate us. I mean, there's so much knowledge in, like, some of those old head Jeep dudes, you know, that have been doing it for 40 years. and just have forgot more things about how to drive on rocks than I'll ever know.
Right.
And that's kind of stuff to be like, I'm never going to get that information from someone if you just, like, aren't going to talk to me unless I buy a Jeep, because I'm not going to go buy a Jeep. Right. I love my side-by-side, but I still want to know that knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of a shame if you think of it of like a, well, side-by-sides are ruining it, and I won't be a part of that. I mean, you said it right off the bat. Be the change. And that goes, yes. I think, for the other groups, too. You want to see us side-by-side people get real good about trail etiquette and stuff? Bring us along, man. That's the reality. And you know what? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, for obviously your podcast is going everywhere, but if you're down here, if you're in Southern Utah, whether you live here, if you're visiting, there are so many of us locals. I know for a fact you would do it. I would do it. Rob Christensen, you name it. You know, Roger Martinez, Sterling
Nate
Harper,
Cook. Nate Cook,
Nate
sorry.
Cook, you know, heck, even Brian Willis from MST, Justin Key from UTV Pros. We're all happy to take people out and show them how to have fun, have a blast, but do it the safe and correct way, you know?
Yeah,
and show them how to do it so they can get comfortable and then, I mean, it spreads from there, right? So if you're down here, hit any of us up. We are
happy to help. Right on, man. Well, thank you. This has been a really good conversation.
Absolutely.
Dude, I love hearing from people. I love hearing about this. Dude, how can people find you if they want to look up? You do want to look up his stuff. Trust me, my stuff's a little meme-y. His stuff is hardcore rock crawling. So.
Yeah, I'm no social media guru. The only one I really use is Instagram, but it's Big Mike on the Rocks. I think there's a period between everything, but yeah, Big Mike on the Rocks. Cool. Check us out.
I'll post a link for it, and we'll catch you guys next time.